On this fourth Sunday of Easter, we always read one of the gospel accounts of Jesus' most famous parable, that of the Good Shepherd. He describes himself and his care for his people as one of a shepherd who cares for his sheep. Now, as beloved as this little image is about sheep and shepherding, I think we have to consider what kind of image we have of sheep. After all, the gospel kind of refers to the fact that we are sheep. Well, what comes to mind when you think of sheep? Probably you have some cute, fuzzy little idea of how wonderful and neat sheep are. Probably when you think of sheep, you think of one like this. Notice he's all kind of cute and fuzzy, and you can cuddle with him, and he's got little floppy ears, an adorable little face with a little tuft of hair up there, a little bow, and a little patch that says, "Jesus loves me" on his butt. That is cute. And I think when we think of sheep, this is what we normally think of. Oh, it's so cute. Well, this is true. He is very cute. His name is Binkles. I got him when I was a seminarian here to talk to the little kids about the Good Shepherd. And Father Kent actually named him Binkles. So he's been with me all this time, and I bring him out every now and then to talk about sheep. Because this is what we normally think of. But today, I have to give you the other side of the story. The dark side of sheep, if you will. Because the truth is, we love the idea of sheep, and particularly we love the image of the shepherd who lovingly places the sheep on his shoulders, you know. It's beautiful in Christian artwork everywhere. Well, here's the deal. I went to the Holy Land, and I talked to some of the shepherds who actually take care of the sheep. They said the reason that they have to place the sheep on their shoulders is because sheep are stupid and they won't come. They'll wander off and get lost. There will be no food or water, and the shepherd will have to go way out of his way to get there to find them, and then they won't come. They would rather starve than stay. And so as much as Jesus says, "Oh, my sheep, listen to me," the truth is a lot of times the sheep don't listen to the shepherd. And he says, "I got to put them on my shoulders and hold them there, because the whole time they're trying to get away and they won't come back to the fold." And now, parental caution advised, I was told that what normally happens is that as the sheep is struggling to get away from the shepherd, he actually ends up going to the bathroom all over the shepherd's neck. Sorry I had to do that, but I think it's only fair that we know the real story about sheep. Because if Jesus is going to say we're sheep, well, we'd probably all like to think we're like Binkles here, and aren't we nice? But the truth is, if we're honest, a lot of times we're more like real sheep, who tend to wander away, won't listen to the voice of our shepherd, think we know better, and then when Jesus comes and says, "Just come back," we won't do it, and then when he tries to heal us, we put up a big fuss. Today, I think we need to try to maybe adjust a little bit the kind of sheep we are, but also I think we should consider then the great ministry of shepherding. It's kind of a difficult job, actually. And Jesus, of course, refers to himself as the Good Shepherd, but then we also refer to all the leaders of the church that he's given us as shepherds. He wants his apostles to follow after him the way he shepherds. So maybe a little bit in defense of shepherds today on this World Day of Prayer for Vocations, as we pray for more shepherds. You know, we don't always listen to the voice of our shepherds. Sometimes we're downright pretty mean to our shepherds who are just trying to help us. We might, in times, even get mad at our shepherds. And sometimes, I mean, it's not unjustified. Because sometimes we shepherds, who, by the way, the shepherds were also sheep, so we're also trying to just follow the voice of Jesus. But nonetheless, we have to try to be shepherds, and we don't always do it so well. Quite frankly, we mess it up. And, you know, I, of all things, it kept me from being a priest for a long time, because I'm like, "God, you've given me a lot of gifts, but I can't do it. I don't know philosophy. What am I going to tell people? I'm not the best example. How could I ever be a shepherd?" I didn't think I'd be a very good shepherd. But God kind of chooses those people who we might think are completely not the likely candidates to be shepherds. And I think that's important that we realize that. Why do we have the shepherds that we have? Is it because we just found the best, most awesome people we possibly could to lead God's church? Well, if we look at the beginning of the church, it really wasn't like that. When Jesus goes to pick the people to be his apostles, imagine if we had picked. Well, we would probably say, well, you got to have some people at the beginning of the church that are really incredible leaders, that are just rock solid. You know, and they ought to be very knowledgeable in the faith. So you probably want some Pharisees and some Sadducees, maybe some scribes. You probably want people with lots of influence. So you got to have really important people to be your apostles. If we had helped Jesus, those are some of the people we might have picked. Probably certainly we would have wanted some women to be apostles. After all, they're about the only people who actually make it to the cross and don't abandon Jesus. There are all kinds of good logical reasons that we would have for picking different apostles, different shepherds. But Jesus picked the apostles he did, and he's God, so pretty sure he got it right. And the people he picked are nothing like the people we would pick. He picks fishermen, not learned, educated people, not people that are known for their outstanding leadership, certainly not known for their good grooming. They're just average folks, kind of run-of-the-mill, not anything that would stand out. In fact, we see that when Jesus picks his apostles, it doesn't even go too well for them. I mean, Peter, whom Jesus names the Rock. I mean, of all things, you got to have a good foundation to start your new religious movement. Well, he picks Peter and says, you are the foundation, the Rock. And the next thing Peter does is tell Jesus he doesn't think it's a good idea to go be crucified, and Jesus has to call him Satan. I mean, it just doesn't go well. From Rock one minute to Satan the next. And of course, we know that in the end, this great foundation of our church denies that he even knows Jesus and runs away all scared and afraid. Peter, not exactly the kind of person that we would choose to build a new worldwide religious movement on. But Jesus did, because he saw something in Peter. He saw something in all the apostles. He even saw something in Judas. Let's not forget, when we look at scandal among shepherds, that 1/12 of the apostles actually handed him over to death to have him killed. But Jesus picked him anyway. Why would he do that? Well, I think maybe Jesus picked the people he did precisely because they seem unlikely, unqualified, and unworthy. Because if you think about it, if Jesus had picked all the people we would expect, and the church became just wildly successful, like it really is today, billions of Catholics throughout the world, well, we would be tempted, if we picked the leaders, to say, well, it's because of our great wisdom, or it's because of those great apostles Jesus picked so carefully, and they've always just been so perfect. Well, it's not true. In fact, I think the witness of bad shepherds at some times actually helps us to see what the church is really all about. The church is not holy because we've always been led by such wonderful holy shepherds. The church is holy because God is holy. Jesus chose the people he did, I think, to make it perfectly clear that when the church is successful, it is definitely not because of the shepherds. In fact, it's often in spite of the shepherds. But God works through his shepherds. Jesus says, I know mine, mine know me. They hear my voice. Because the truth is, although we've had scandalous shepherds even, popes that have been just outright scoundrels, despite their own personal unworthiness in lives, no pope has ever taught heresy to the church. When they spoke in the name of Jesus, it was the voice of the Good Shepherd that went out. It's the voice of the Good Shepherd that continues to speak through his earthly shepherds today. And that's why, no matter what we think of our priest, no matter how unworthy and unqualified they seem, we've got to listen to them. Because when they speak, it is the voice of the Good Shepherd that we are to hear, speaking with love to his flock. Today, as we pray for more vocations, more people willing to lay down their lives to be shepherds, we know that it's not easy. We also know that men can be scared to answer the call because they think they're unworthy. I pray that through my own unworthiness, through the unworthiness of all priests, that we might see that God shines through all this. It is His voice that we hear. Because although we've had some scoundrels, we've had some pretty good ones too. We think of Blessed John Paul II, or even the priests that have touched each of our lives. If you think about the priest you have known in your life, think even of just the beautiful example of Monsignor Charles here. There are times when we can look at the shepherds, the earthly ones, and say, there is the good shepherd. We pray for more men like that after Jesus' own heart. So today, as we pray for our shepherds, we ask for more of them. We also pray that we would be good sheep. What kind of sheep will we be? Probably most of us want to be like Binkles here. Notice that all during my homily, he's been reverent, attentive. He didn't talk back or anything. And, you know, even though I insulted sheep a little bit, he's probably not going to go home and write me a nasty email. And he didn't go to the bathroom on the ombo or anything. I mean, that's the kind of sheep we want to be. We pray that Binkles might serve as our great model today, that we, too, might be good sheep, to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow with great thanksgiving that he speaks to us today, even through our unworthy earthly shepherds.